Now, most of us remember things that our parents told us as we were growing up. And some of those things kind of stick with you and continue to influence your life for all of the rest of your years. I remember something that my mother said to me when I was leaving Denver, Colorado, where I grew up. As I got in the car to leave, she leaned in the window, and the last thing she said to me was, "Remember who you are." And it was a condensed way of saying, you've been raised right. Don't forget all the things we told you now that you're going away from home. You know the difference between right and wrong. You know how you should live. You know how to treat others. You know how to do honest work. Remember who you are. Sometimes that's all we need to do, you know, is just remember who we are. And it keeps us from doing something that we might be ashamed of later on. Remember who we are, and it keeps us from getting into trouble that we might get into otherwise. It helps us be the kind of decent, honest people we know we should be. Well, the scripture I want us to look together with this morning is a scripture that reminds you and me, reminds all of us who call ourselves Christians, who we are. So I'm going to ask you to do what I understand is your tradition. I want you to stand and take your Bibles. This is the Word of God, and I know it is true. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Now look at this message as it comes to us straight from the Bible. The first thing that these verses emphasize is that you are God's people. All of the things that are listed here, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, refers to this one pronoun, Y-O-U. And who is the you that these verses are spoken to? Well, first of all, it was all the people in the churches to which Peter was sending this letter. You see, shortly after Jesus died, the Christians who had come to know Him and were gathered in Jerusalem and those other towns where He ministered came under heavy persecution. And what did they do because of persecution? They scattered. They fled for their lives. They left their homes. They left their jobs. And they went all over the known world at that time. And Peter is sending a letter to these people, a letter of encouragement to try to reach out to them wherever they are, basic Christian teaching to those who become Christian believers. And the first thing he wants to say to these people is, remember who you are. You are the people of God. You are God's people. Wherever you go, don't forget that. So that's the first group of people that this letter addresses, but it was to have a much wider audience than that because they passed it down to others and to others. The message was first for the early church, and then it became a message for all men and women who believe in Jesus Christ down through the centuries. And it is a message that comes to those of us who gather today, a message that says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. All those qualifiers, all those identifiers are meant for you and you and you and you and all of us together who have claimed the name of Jesus Christ. You and I are the people of God. In a letter to people that were scattered all over the world, Peter writes a letter and he says to them, you are the people of God. No doubt about it. You are the people who represent the all-powerful, almighty God of the universe in that place. It's not happening everywhere else except where you are. God has His people in all places. God is present when 5,000 of His people gather together. God is present when 2 or 3 of His people gather together. It isn't happening everywhere else except here, right here. God is calling people to Himself. Right here, lives are being changed by the Spirit of God. Right here is the salt of the earth and the light set on a hill. Right here, God has His people and His purposes, and He will work His will until it is accomplished. And you know, folks, we need to grow a callus to that other temptation to kind of look everywhere else except where we are. And somehow we need to develop this understanding and this thought in our head that marks everything we plan, everything we do together. It says, we're God's people in this place, this corner of the world. He has chosen us as much as He has chosen anybody else in any other part of the world. We are ordained by Him. We are brought together by Him. We are empowered by Him. We are loved by Him. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, an integral part of the body of Christ, as essential as anything else that He is doing in the world. We are the people of God. Well, that's the first thing I want you to see in this passage from 1 Peter. I want you to see that it doesn't just apply to people in ancient times and ancient places. It doesn't just apply to people in big towns and big churches. This part of the Bible applies to you and to this church. You are God's people. Don't ever forget who you are. Secondly, let's look a little further in this passage. You are God's people for a purpose. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, it's a great thing to know that we're God's people, that He's called us, that He's placed His Holy Spirit in our lives, that He has His hand upon us and is guiding us in the things that we do. But we could take that and we could just sit back and kind of revel in that, you know. Aren't we pretty special? Aren't we something? God chose us. God chose me. I'm a part of His family. Lots of other people He didn't choose. But boy, He chose me. But wait a minute. God didn't choose me or choose you for some sort of special status in the world. He didn't choose us so we could look down on others or so we could bask in our own assessment of how special we are. God chose us for a purpose. He chose you if you've given your heart to Christ. He chose me, but His choice is always related to service. He chooses people to build His church. He chooses people to be His instruments of revelation in the world. He has chosen some to suffer for His sake, to be ambassadors for His name. You are God's people, but He's chosen you for a purpose. What is it that God wants to do through you? Why did He call you to Himself? He has something for you to do in this world for His sake. Discover it. Work it out. And you know what? If that is true individually, it is even more true when a whole bunch of God's people get together in what we call a church. God chose you with a purpose in mind. God chose you with a purpose in mind. And then God brought you and you and you and you together for a purpose. God gathered His people in this house because He has work to do. And I don't know all the ramifications of that work, and neither do you. But I think if you keep walking with the Lord, He will show you more as time goes along. I know this. He has a job for you to do. God built His church because He wants in this community a strong and vibrant witness for Himself. God chose you because He wants people walking the streets of this town who can show the love of Jesus Christ. God chose some of you because He wants to teach others how to do business in an honest way in this community. God chose some of you because He wants your family to show other families how to love one another and build one another up. You and you and you and you are God's chosen people. Together you are God's chosen people that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now the verses we've been following in Peter end in this way. Once you were no people, now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. And if you're following the outline of the thought in this passage, it's very simple. You are God's people. You are God's people for a purpose. Great is the mercy of our God. You know, sometimes I've been in a church and I've heard a very stirring sermon regarding our responsibility as God's people. And somehow that sermon comes across to me as just this great, big, huge burden I've got to bear. We are Christians here on earth to do the ministry of the Lord, but the whole tone is a tone of weariness and scolding and work and worry, and I walk out of that church service and I'm not encouraged, I'm discouraged. I walk out of that church and maybe I steel myself to go do that work to which I know I've been called, but it sounds like grim and unrewarding work. And I'm going to do it because I'm a Christian, but I may not feel like doing it. Folks, I don't find that note in the Scriptures here. I think if a sermon on God's work in the world comes across with that kind of a note, then maybe the human messenger is importing too much of his humanness into that message and obscuring the real Word of God. Because when I look at the Word of God here, it says, I have been called into the service of Almighty God, and that's a joy, and that's a privilege. It is a distinct evidence of God's mercy in my life. Look what it says here. Once you were no people. We didn't know God's love and His grace. We didn't know He was even in the world working out His purposes here. We were alone, we thought. We were self-destructive. We had no purpose in life. Now, through the mercy of God, we've learned that God is love, not hatred, not punishment. We've learned He provides freely to all who will believe in Him. We've learned that in His mercy, He forgives us our sins. He will wipe away every tear. He will make us His children. He will promise eternal life for us in heaven with Him. And by His mercy, while we are still here on earth, He's going to let us work for Him. He's going to let us, in all of our weakness, tell others of His great love. He has given us Christian brothers and sisters, so we're not going to have to do that work alone. He's given us power and love and knowledge that can actually change lives and change communities. He has delivered us forever from feeling worthless or unwanted. He's given us something to do that is going to last for all eternity. Great is the mercy of our God. Not obligation, mercy. Not our merit, mercy. Not unrewarding work, mercy. The King of the universe has let we nothings into His service. The Creator has made us co-laborers with Him. Well, I hope that's the spirit we have in our personal lives. Don't forget who you are as you go about your daily activities here in Madison, Minnesota. Don't forget who you are as you gather together in this house to worship. And as you remind yourself continually that you are the people of God in this place, chosen because He loves you and because He has work for you to do, and then you set about doing that work, you will in fact become the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of Jesus Christ, the very body of Christ in this place. And God will bless people through you. And God will bless this community through you, even to the ends of the earth. Remember, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Great is the mercy of our God.